WFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
I got it!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number 2, 3 hour, big show on a F Yeah Friday. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. A reminder to you, at the 3 o'clock hour, we will be simulcasting on both ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing we haven't talked about is this James Ennis signing. I'm surprised that it hasn't come up yet. Free agent agreed to a 2-year deal with the Rockets.
I don't care to talk basketball much, so.
Huh?
I don't really care to talk basketball much, so I tried to avoid that subject.
Why don't you care to talk basketball?
It's just not that interesting to me.
But he signed a 2-year deal, and I didn't see the terms. But I don't know a ton about this cat, but the research I did do leads me to believe that he's a average to slightly above average defender who can do a little rebounding for you and can knock down the 3-pointer at about a 35% clip. So he's almost a poor man's Ariza or Mbamute.
I think we both retweeted someone that actually went in depth on the stats.
I have them. Yeah.
Yeah. Compared him to Luke, to Trevor and
Tom Kirkendall.
Obviously his name isn't as sexy as the names that you're losing if you're a Rockets fan, but I think you hit the nail on the head for the most important thing, which is he is an above average defender.
So yeah, but not a great defender, like above average, but not as good as Trevor. Or maybe Luke was, but not as bad as, like, James. Like, he's somewhere right in the middle. And some of those stats that I had retweeted from that Kirkendall fella. So they have, like, wins produced. And Mbamute was at a 3.6. Trevor was at a 7.3. And James Ennis was at a 5.3. Points per game, 15.3, which was right in between Mbamute and Trevor. Defensive rebounds at 4.5. Ariza was at 5.5 and Mbamute at 5. Offensive rebounds was the big difference. He was 2.2 a game. Both Trevor and Luke Mbamute were 0.7 a game. And then, you know, assists was about the same. Turnovers were about the same. Blocks, that he was a bit deficient in steals compared to Ariza and Luke Mbamute. But it sounds, I mean, just, and again, I haven't watched him a lot. I couldn't tell you, oh yeah, this is how great he is.
He's athletic as all get out.
One of the breakdowns I saw was he's really good at, like, cutting to the basket.
Finishes
and,
with
and that's
big
great dunks. Because I think that can be beneficial in this Rockets lineup. But it sounds like that, you know, you didn't quite get Ariza, but you may have gotten as good or better than Mbamute. So you found somewhere, you kind of settled in the middle and saved a little money in the process.
And in a team that, and I think Joel would agree that, you know, is really eyeing Carmelo Anthony, that might be a decent replacement considering what they feel to be is the right priority, right? Isn't it fair to say that that's not a bad replacement considering who they're trying to go after?
He's Luke 2.0 in their mind. He's Luke, which is a cheap, primarily defensive and athletic replacement. Gonna not get tons of minutes, but when he does, as long as he defends, he's doing his job. If he does anything more, and as Barry said, he's a little bit above average in terms of he knocks down some threes. He's obviously no Michael Carter Williams when it comes to the arc, thankfully, but he makes his threes. If you're in the 30% range, you're about average. So he's gonna fill the small time, the small role that Luke had in terms of the big picture on the rotation front. All signs are pointing, as you mentioned, that Carmelo's going to be coming to the Rockets. You're going to lose a ton defensively because of him. So you're going to have the guys that can spot fit defensively in your rotation because there's going to be times you need to get stops, and Carmelo's not that guy, obviously.
So this is according to HoopsRumors.com on the contract. According to Jonathan Fagan of the Chronicle, the Rockets were able to secure Ennis for the veteran's minimum, which means his deal will be worth about $3.47 million over 2 years, yep. Which is a big win for Houston because that still allows them to keep their mid-level exception. According to Ian Begley of ESPN, the Ennis 2-year deal will be worth $4 million, which would require a portion of the mid-level exception unless some generous rounding is involved. So I don't think that the terms have actually been disclosed.
They have not.
We're just figuring out who is why. So you, if you're a Rockets fan, you hope Fagan's right.
Yeah, no doubt. And Daryl was on the Summer League game the other night that I told you about when he said that his big thing in terms of they asked him outside of big signings and max free agent guys, what is he looking at? And he said he wants to have guys that outplay their contract. Mm-hmm. So he wants to buy
low Luke Mbamute did.
And have results high.
Yeah.
So again, this is what he's looking at in these situations. He got Michael Carter Williams, regardless of whether you like him or not, on the dirt cheap. And if they can do some things to maybe improve his shot, maybe think that the system and getting wide open, uncontested shots is going to help him and his percentage go up and do some things as a backup point guard, great. And then with the Ennis signing, like Barry said, I mean, here's a guy that you get on the cheap who fulfills in the short windows the ability to defend that you lose at least one half of what you lose with Mbamute and Ariza. Offensively, you're going to probably get all of Ariza and then some with Carmelo. It's just how do you replace that second defender that, as we both talked about, when we had that, I called it the death lineup, but when you had those five guys that could all defend on the ball when you need them to, whether you use them all together or not, it's the main reason why you were able to achieve a top five rating defensively in the league last year.
Yeah, and numbers-wise, again, just to kind of reiterate, you can find that tweet. I think it's second on my timeline. But it was from Tom Kirkendall. If you're interested in looking at the individual numbers and how they compare to Ariza and Luke and Mbamute, but they're very similar across the board. And he's an average or above average when it comes to what the average three in the NBA is putting up. So like field goal percentage, he's shooting at a 47.4 clip. The average wing in the NBA shoots at a 44. So, you know, 3-point wise, he's like 3% off of Ariza and Mbamute and the average wing player. So it's a little bit encouraging because at first you're like, damn. At first there was the Michael Carter Williams and now this, and there's no splashy names. But if you ended up just replacing Mbamute for a little bit cheaper than it would have cost you, that's not bad.
Sexy for the average fan. But here's the thing, you guys. Especially the average Rockets fan, but still the Kool-Aid drinking average Rockets fan. Last year, you were all jazzed about Chris Paul and didn't give a rat's ass about either guy that came after Chris Paul. And after you looked at it at the end of the season, you went, damn, those two guys were really good in PJ Tucker and Luke Mbamute. So the one thing that you have to do is, you know, just stay open-minded on the fact that it might not be the sexiest of names with all-star appearances and all the different things. You'll get that with Carmelo, but the guys that they're bringing in, at least you know that they're focused on deficiencies that they lose with the guys that have left town.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess we'll wrap that one up. Yeah, because I had someone send me the exact same breakdown you had, and I retweeted it, and then I saw you had done the same thing, and I was like, man, I mean, who would have thought just on name alone, no one would have said, that guy comes close to what either one of the guys the Rockets lost could bring to the table.
Yeah, because like you said, he's not a sexy name. Nick, somebody said, hey, can y'all fix the podcast? Some of the hours are missing from some shows. I don't know if he means our shows. I don't know. There's no details. And then we had one more text where they said, what would it take for y'all to satellite broadcast at one of the best microbreweries in Houston down in Pearland?
Is that a satellite or is it called a remote?
I think they meant a remote.
It might be. I'm sure they
don't.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't know that they know the exact terminology, but I think they're just asking what it would take to do a remote. I will take your number, sir, and I will pass it along to a sales rep, and they can contact you about us doing a remote. And I'll even go ahead and give out the brewery name. Shout out to, it looks like it's called Backfish Brewing in Pearland. That's how it's spelled anyways, B-A-K.
I'll try it, shoot.
Backfish, yeah. So I'll pass along your number to one of our sales
folks. And just
so you know,
Jong Lee just updated me on the podcast situation. Right now, for whatever reason, our podcast platform, when we're uploading these hours, they're just going completely out of order. So
is it still that same thing,
Jong? Scroll down a little bit, and you'll eventually find the hours. Okay. I know it's a bit inconvenient.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll get the problem fixed. But the hours are there, so the podcast is there. It's just completely out of order.
That was the case last week, so that still hasn't been resolved. But, okay, that's good to know. Yeah, so they're there. Just scroll around. Maybe just do a search. It's usually like Control F, and then your little search box will pop up in the browser, and then just type in the date you're looking for, and it should find it.
Control F on an FEF Friday.
That's what works.
Look
what
we did there.
Look what you found.
And if all else fails, scroll around. Scroll around. Scroll up, scroll up, scroll down.
We're going to leave you alone on that one.
You should have stopped at Control F, yeah, Friday.
I don't shy away from my dad jokes. I'm a dad.
I like that you embrace them. That's good.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. If you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest, join us, won't you? 713-780-3776. Text the show, call the show, or you can tweet the show. And if it's decent and you're above board in terms of your language, we might even address that on the show. So we'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back. It's The Usual Suspects on an FBF ride. We missed it.
What did we miss? The hell did we miss?
We missed your boy, Touche.
Oh. Blowed, as he would say. Blowed.
That's my bad. We'll do it in the next segment.
Okay, we'll do it in the next segment.
There you go.
Yeah, that's all good.
So our comedian of the week is Touche Jackson. Barry's given you a good bit of information on his personal relationship and kind of his career. And you can catch another clip coming up here at the start of the next segment. Also one at 3:15 in the afternoon. If you missed anything, check the podcast. As we've heard, it might take a little time, but you'll figure it out, and it'll be worth it at the end.
Hey, Dustin Qualls, shout out to you. He said, dude, I saw someone wearing your Welcome to the Land, Where It Just Don't Stop shirt at Tejas Barbecue today in Tomball.
That's cool.
Had to have that bad boy. That's a great shirt. Just ordered a couple online. That's pretty sweet. That's pretty cool.
Nice job. Well done.
Yeah. That was a thing I didn't think would really like happen. I didn't even plan on it actually happening. It was just like, hey, if I can get a few people that want one. And it did pretty well, so that's cool.
I think we've been talking about it long enough. I think you should do a Usual Suspect shirt, and I really believe that you people that would be interested in getting one should let us know, so we can get a.
I would agree.
I'm with that.
We need.
Let's get a head count and see how many of you people would be sporting a Usual Suspect
shirt. How about you take on that one?
Why are you calling them you people though? It's disrespectful.
Because there are people. Our people are those
the suspects.
People. The suspects, right? I'm just curious to see how many people would get behind it because we've been on our marketing department for quite some time to say, hey, let's get a shirt. I'm tired of giving away bench shirts when people love us.
That is kind of weird when you're on a remote and the only prize is a shirt for the bench.
I've been asked twice. Well, I've been Steelers asked fan times. One asked me, I think, actually more than twice.
But I'll tell you this. Asked. The one that got me the most was Barry and I were doing the Cowboys and Indians remote, and we were doing it outside, and several people were like, hey, can I get a shirt? And we gave them a shirt, and we kept doing the broadcast, and all of a sudden they came back, and they're like, whoa, who's this? We want one of your shirts.
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah, we don't have any of those, so maybe we should. Just throwing it out there.
You teased this NFL backfield thing and never did it. We should do that.
Well, it's not that we're never going to do it. I said we can get to it. So it's
I also wanted to get to those Madden ratings, which always is interesting and infuriating for people.
Well, for
I love
players,
how upset.
Too.
Yeah, I love how upset both players. No, people get upset too. Like Patriots fans that love Tom Brady or Packers fans that love Aaron Rodgers or Texans fans that love J.J. Watt.
Nick,
if their favorite player doesn't get perfect ratings, some of them lose their bleep. It's pretty funny. What was that for? What the Nick? What?
No, because I thought you were gonna. I thought you said after you said Aaron Rodgers, you went Joel.
Oh no. Oh. But yeah. So we'll do that too. I think we should do the backfield thing though, since you teased it.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different things. There was one that was just running backs, and then that I had on the rundown earlier in the week, and then they also did another. ESPN did one where they said skill position players on the offensive side of the ball. So your tight ends, your wide receivers, and your running backs, and then rate them combined and how they sit.
Okay.
So the Texans were 12th in terms of their skill position players. They obviously gave the utmost credit to DeAndre Hopkins. Sure. They said that Will Fuller has been wildly inconsistent, and he won't even score 7 touchdowns in 4 games again like he did last season. He should be better. Lamar Miller has lacked explosion since joining Houston in free agency. And, of course, we know that the whole stable of tight ends, but they still made him the 12th best skill position roster in the NFL. Seems high, doesn't it?
It does a little bit.
Foreman coming off injury.
Yeah, I think it also depends on who's in front and behind them.
Okay, so I can give you at their 12, the Saints 11, the Chargers 10 to start the top 10. All right?
Okay.
9 is also going to shock you.
I would have thought the Saints would have been a little bit higher.
Especially with those two guys in the backfield?
Yeah.
All right, 9, you're going to scratch your temple.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 8's
the Patriots, and we know that they always get 86 guys later in their career. 7, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
6, the Rams. I get because
Cooper Kupp really stepped up, very productive.
But they lost Sammy Watkins. They lost 2 receivers. The other guy from the Bills too left. Oh, Robert Woods.
Yeah.
So 5 the Vikings.
Okay.
4 the Steelers.
Really, Steelers are 4?
Yeah, with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They probably have the best player at those two positions.
Tight end's not bad.
And how are they not higher than 4? I would have thought that they would have been first or second on this list, to be honest with you.
3 to me would have been 1. The Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
Because of the fact that you have 2 really above average running backs. You have you have 3 really good wide receivers when you start talking about the Julio Jones, Sanu, and they drafted Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, Ridley helped.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, their tight end, Austin Hooper, better than average. So they're 3, Giants 2.
Really?
And I guess they're expecting Saquon Barkley to just run crazy now that he's in the NFL. Because I get that their receiving core is pretty darn good.
Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham. I can't even think of at tight end.
They got a bunch of blocking tight ends.
Yeah.
Evan Ingram was drafted this year as a rookie tight end. Brandon Marshall left after he was there a year ago. Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham Jr. alone say that, you know, their receiving core is great. And number 1's really going to surprise you. But I guess they rate the – let me just put it this way before you even guess. I guess they really rate the tight end very highly.
Oh. It can't be Seattle. You said the Patriots already.
Mm-hmm. I like your deductive reasoning.
I don't know. Who am I missing?
The Kansas City.
Oh,
Chiefs.
Travis Kelce. Yeah, of course. Duh.
With Tyreek Hill for speed at the wide receiver.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt at running back.
Yeah.
Spencer Ware backs him up, who's a good backup.
Travis Kelce at
tight end. They added Sammy Watkins from the Rams, and they have Travis Kelce.
That's a pretty stout lineup.
It is, but think about some of the teams that we've said that weren't that high. Or take the team, like I said, take the Falcons and put it up against them. Aside from like an all-pro tight end, I think they have a lot more talent in Atlanta. I'm looking at the Rams, and I'm thinking anywhere where you have Todd Gurley in the backfield, and you have, you know, the receivers that we've talked about already. But I don't know. Number 1 for the Chiefs. They had Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill on the outside, Kelce at tight end, and then Spencer Ware and Kareem Hunt.
Okay, that's interesting. I was looking up last year, like, some of these teams fell total, like, rushing-wise, right? Like, total yards, Kansas City was 5th in the NFL at just over 6,000. And like we said, Pittsburgh ended up, and New Orleans were 2nd and 3rd. So a little surprising, but I guess they're just looking at, I don't know, star power or what? Because Kansas City 7th in passing, 9th in rushing. Both of those behind New Orleans, Philly. I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, I was. And again, another team that we didn't mention, but that's simply the Cowboys. And we know what Ezekiel Elliott brings to the table, but they lost Witten, and their receiving corps hasn't. They don't have a true number 1.
Yeah.
So they're not in it. So we can get to some more of that. I also had that prior to that list, Bleacher Report had done the best backfields or rating every backfield.
It has to be
in the NFL.
And you really brought up great points with Kansas City's backfield as well. I think some people kind of sleep on that backfield. Tell me New Orleans is number one.
Of just backfields alone?
Yeah.
Or I'm getting to it right now.
Okay, that's fine. We can do it after the break.
We'll get off the break. I'm bringing it up so we can get down because they're pretty in-depth, too, in terms of how they break it down. So that's good. So we'll continue to roll on. We'll talk a little bit more football. There's still baseball to talk about as the Astros open up a weekend series against the Detroit Tigers. And by the way, they're going to face two of their own previous pitchers in this series, Mike Fiers and Francisco Liriano.
I don't think they're nervous about either of those cats.
I wouldn't be either. But the good thing for them is they get their World Series rings as well. So
that is cool.
That's cool. They'll be a presentation on the field. Oh, boy. Fiers?
He had the what? The 1 month? July?
He had a no-hitter franchise. He did have a 1 month that kept him afloat.
He kept it together. It's like, you know, that was his month, was July. And while everybody else was floundering, he did well. But good for him, I guess.
All right, we'll touch on the best backfields when we get back and that list. But right now, I do want to tell you about people at Infuse Energy. It's hot out there, as you know. Temperatures are going through the roof. And your air conditioning bill is too, unless you have a good energy provider with a great plan that is specifically designed for you in your business or your family in mind. And that's like the people that at Infuse Energy. I have a contract in dealing with Infuse Energy, and I wouldn't deal with anybody else because, quite frankly, they took hundreds off of my bill in the summer months last year. They are fantastic. They give you weekly updates as to how much energy you used, how it compared to a week ago, a year ago, and all the comparisons and data that you need to see that you're actually saving money and you're with a trusted company that is going to take care of you like a true friend. They're going to be honest at all times. They're going to communicate with you, and they're going to make sure they tailor make a plan that fits you and your needs best. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job of communication. That starts with a human being, not an automated system. They talk to you. They ask you questions. They find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and what your needs are so they can get you the best rate, the best deal, and get you a contract that makes sense. Check them out for yourself, infuseenergy.com, or you can call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You mention ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit, and just go from there. Talk to them, see if they can help you, and in most cases, they can. They're also going to be honest enough to tell you there are going to be times when other companies, as their competition, can do better. They'll point you in that direction because they want you to trust them above all else. They're affordable, hassle-free energy, and a company that always has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
You know who it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And ladies, if you got a lot of hair down there, we want to take care of y'all. Do us a favor. Do something with it. Trim it, braid it, end it, gel it down or something. Put a scrunchie on it. Let's get it out the way. If you ever put a turban, come on now.
Hey, that's Touche Jackson. He is our comedian of the week. And we got one more clip coming up at 3:15. If you missed any of his previous clips and or the information behind him and his career, check it out. Barry had a great story. He's known him. He knew him for a long time. And they were brothers in a lot of ways.
So. Hey, he's my foster brother. He lived with me for a couple of years in high school. Yeah.
So check it out. Podcast.
Somebody wanted to know, did we talk about CNL Perez yesterday or about his debut? Yeah, we talked a little bit about it. It wasn't spectacular. It was promising. He is a guy that they targeted with some of their international money. And, actually, did they get him in a trade?
I don't remember how they
I
got
wanna
him.
I want to say, yeah, I thought it was international money, but it might have been a trade.
Small dude.
Yeah.
Skinny, too. And he brings it at 97. He was clocking out 97-ish, 98, in between 97 and 98. That's impressive for a little guy. But he's left-handed, too. So I think they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt the second half of the season and check and see. Unless he really craps the bed, I can see him sticking around for a while.
Yeah. He topped out at 97. So that's a plus. And yeah. He's a lefty in the bullpen. Not that you've really needed it with how well Sip has pitched, but it never hurts to have another left-handed relief pitcher that you can count on. So,
okay.
Yeah. And then somebody says, the joke joint the place on 45 and Fuquay. If so, when is the next time you are performing there? Yes, the joke joint is at 45 South and Fuquay, and I am there July 20th and the 21st.
I am not yet there, but I've been talking to them. We'll see if we can work it out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So getting back to this list that we were talking about when it was all skill positions, now we're just talking about running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, and written, by the way, by two separate entities. So the skill positions came out from ESPN, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bleacher Report has just the running backs. You want to guess number one?
I would have said New Orleans.
The Kansas City Chiefs again.
Okay.
So Kareem Hunt, and we said Spencer Ware, but also don't forget that even when Ware got hurt last year, Charkandrick West was back there. They also have a Kerwin Williams and Anthony Sherman, okay? So that's one. Two would be your New Orleans Saints with Kamara and Ingram and their backups. Three would be the Los Angeles Rams at three, with Todd Gurley leading the running backs, but their depth, Malcolm Brown, Justin Davis, John Kelly, nothing really. I mean, again, to me, I'm looking at it like you think. The Saints have two legitimate all-pro running backs.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons do, too, with Freeman and Coleman.
Yeah.
So they are not even in the top four. Fourth is the Chicago Bears.
Hmm.
With Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. And just a bunch of names that you wouldn't recognize either. Then five is the Titans.
Really?
With Derrick Henry and then Deion Lewis, who they got from the Patriots. But, you know, we just said DeMarco Murray retired. So,
yeah.
Weird that Atlanta doesn't even crack the top five with running backs with those two guys.
That is kind of weird. Wasn't Jacksonville, didn't they lead the league in rushing last year? And they're not up there?
That's a good point, too. Yeah. Right?
You would think a team, but I mean, some of that could be Bortles getting out and running a little bit, but still, you would think a team that led the league in rushing yards would be up there.
And then six is the Patriots, so still no Atlanta. The Patriots with rookie Sonny Michel,
mm-hmm.
James White, who they had, Burkhead, who they had, but that's better than Atlanta?
Mm.
I don't see that there either. So the Steelers are at seven. Then the top 10 finishes out with the Cowboys at 8, the Jaguars at 9.
Okay.
And then the top 10 is finished out with, no, not the Atlanta Falcons, Barry, the Cleveland Browns.
Really?
Carlos Hyde, who came over from the Niners.
Yeah.
Duke Johnson. They drafted Nick Chubb. So that's, I can see the depth chart there being really good with young talent. But unproven, the Giants at 11, man. And then the Falcons finally show up at 12.
They love them some Duke Johnson.
Man.
Hmm.
I question that list.
That is kind of suspect, but, yeah. You know.
Well, we're used to dealing with suspects on this show.
All right. So NFL ratings for Madden.
Yep.
So a couple of things. The original link that I had in our show rundown just listed the top. So everyone that got a 99. And that breaks down as follows. Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Aaron Donald, Rob Gronkowski, Luke Kuechly, Von Miller, and Aaron Rodgers. So those are all your perfect scores. Well, you know, that because you can't get 100. Mm-hmm. So all your perfect scores, there are seven people that got a 99. If you are curious about risers and fallers and all that, specifically, so this article had, they broke down basically whose numbers went up significantly or down significantly for each team. And we'll start with the hometown boys, the Houston Texans.
JJ went down. Let me guess. I don't have it in front of me. I'm just guessing.
No, he was not the Texan whose number was a significant
really
decrease. JJ is actually a 98 on the on Madden.
Hmm.
The number that this article lists as a significant decrease was Bernhardrick McKinney, going from an 82 to a 78. The biggest increase on the Texans? Take a shot at that.
I would say probably like a D-Hop.
No. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I was going to say Watson.
Went from a 76 to an 82.
He was in last year's Madden. I specifically skipped him because I thought he wasn't.
Yeah, because of his rookie year, even though he didn't play much. But he went from a 76 to an 82. Since we'll keep it in the state. Cowboys, the biggest riser on the Cowboys. A guy who, I bet you if you looked over the last 3 or 4 years, has probably gone up and up and up. Sean Lee. Went from a 91 to a 96.
Went up?
Yeah.
After injured he is?
I always felt like Sean Lee was just a dude. Like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, you looked at that guy just filling space at the linebacker position. But he has significantly gotten better every year. He's been a guy that they count on in that defense. He went from a guy that if they lost, you weren't really concerned about it, to now, it's a significant blow if Sean Lee is not on the field.
His value to that team is ridiculously high.
Yeah. The biggest drop on the Cowboys was?
It's not Dak.
It is Dak.
It is Dak, yeah.
86 to 82.
They would do that to their quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, he went from who he's throwing to, too.
He went from an 86 to an 82. Andrew Luck, just some other notable names that dropped, went from a 90 to an 87. Eli is all the way down now to a 76.
I'm never picking the Giants.
He went from an 80 to a 76. Other significant drops. Let's see here. Jimmy Graham's now a 9. He went from a 93 to an 86.
Alex Smith is the owner,
which surprises me a little bit. Jimmy Graham going to the Packers, you would have thought his number might have gone up a little bit, but I guess it's individual ratings like speed and ability to catch and stuff, not who's throwing you ball.
It's going up,
but it's individual, not who's throwing you the ball. Derek Carr dropped from an 89 to an 83. Roethlisberger is now down to an 88. Mariota dropped from an 80 to a 79.
Leonard Fournette, by the way, wants his name and all likeness is pulled from the video game because of the fact that he did not agree with his rating.
He's that mad?
He is ticked off.
I'm trying to look at any other significance.
You should never say something.
So like if you care about the Texans, here's some before we go to break because I know we got to go. The highest rated Texan was J.J. Watt with a 98.
Still?
His injury rating is a 79, though.
His broke ass back, yeah. And he's a 98.
D-Hop is a 94. The Honey Badger's a 93, Clowney a 91, Andre Howe 87, Jonathan Joseph 85, Lamar Miller 85, Deshaun Watson 82, and then just Fuller, Zach Fulton, Merciless, and DJ Reader all 81s. So there's your 80s and aboves on the Texans.
I don't care when fans get upset, but if there's a player that gets upset, I want to see what Leonard Fournette said exactly. I'd like to see that.
I want to see what his rating is.
I got the article for you.
I'll pull up his rating. Because Madden has on the EA website, you can go through and filter and find just your team. You can find
the fans are going to get upset regardless. So
yeah,
so we can talk about that when we come back and anything that might be on your mind. You want to get off your chest? 713-780-3776. HR&B listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back hour number two, almost behind us on The Usual Suspects on an Friday. Touche Jackson is our comedian of the week. If you missed any of it, go back and check it out. If not, we still got another clip coming up at 3:15. We were talking a little bit about Madden before the break. I found the Leonard Fournette article, Compliments of USA Today, where his overall rating was an 87, so was his speed. He was not happy about it. He tweeted about it, to which Madden, the game, got back to him and said that the official Twitter account for Madden said there's a pre-written instruction as you can submit a ratings complaint.
They actually have that?
Yeah, because there's a lot of players are upset. And I have the actual tweet with all of the different... it says, Dear NFL player, we understand the concern with your current Madden ranking. In order for us to reconsider your ratings, we will require factual or video evidence of why your specific rating should be higher. Please send your submissions to @EAMaddenNFL for an official inquiry. Upon submission, our ratings experts will carefully review your request before coming to a final decision. They take it that seriously for video games?
That's pretty wild.
He responded, by the way, "I'm not sending nothing. Just take me off Madden, period. And let my defense not be number one on there. I'm a send to tackle y'all's ass."
Hmm.
Okay.
He's angry.
I guess so.
He is not happy. But I just feel like if I'm Madden, I'm not creating some way where they can file a formal complaint. It's a video game.
It opens up a can of worms where you're going to get inundated.
Perhaps, but you're developing relationships with these guys who could potentially be on the cover. It's a smart business move.
Tyreek Hill, remember? Everybody got mad because of Tyreek Hill and the fastest guy in the league's ratings on Madden 2. That was a big deal. Everybody was bitching about that. They said while Fournette's 40-yard dash wasn't particularly dazzling at a 4.51, his in-game speed has been unmatched on video, I guess. No NFL ball carrier had hit a faster speed than Fournette did on two separate occasions in 2017. So there's the factual information.
Yeah, because don't they track it some way with, like, kind of like stat?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Statcast or whatever.
Yeah, speed tracker is not a lot like shot tracker in the NBA or whatever.
Right. Somebody said that Touche looks a lot like Andre Iguodala, or did. They said, man, your foster brother resembles Andre Iguodala. He's a little bit, I guess.
He might have been a fan of Luka Doncic's mom then, too.
Yeah, he could.
Because Iggy had a little thing going for Luka Doncic's mom on Twitter.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was like, what did he say? I'm like, whoa.
Damn, but goodness. Mom, though.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's kind of creepy.
A little bit. But hey, don't discount Steph Curry's mom.
By the way, I looked up Mike Fiers' number this year.
Yeah.
Of course he's pitching a lot better. He's got a sub 4 ERA.
Really?
3.65 or something like
How
that?
How many starts?
He had 6 starts in May. He's been healthy the entire year.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about your boy Liriano?
Screw you, Mike Fiers, for saving your best stuff for the Tigers. That's why you're with the Tigers now. That's what you get. I didn't look up Liriano, but I can look him up real quick.
Jerry just tweeted in, by the way.
Oh, no.
Jerry said, if you guys Say were no in more. A video game, Nick's liver function and mustache would be rated at 12. Barry's rating for snarkiness would be a 99.
Hey,
and
like
Joel's
that.
Rating for potty training would be a 97.
Okay. I feel like you got off easy on that.
Joel, the struggle
I felt like
is
you
real.
Did too.
He made
potty
fun of,
training?
He made fun of you. He made fun of me, and he didn't make fun of Joel.
That's what I feel like. Jerry, that needs to be completely redone.
Yeah, I feel like you need to reassess what you
just
did
You made fun of
there.
The fact that he owns a lot of dogs? Like, what
yeah,
I don't get
but
it.
I don't know if that's potty training for the dogs or for Taylor, because I don't think we ever talked about Taylor's potty training, did we?
Yeah, you brought it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I won't do it again then.
Why?
Because I don't want to be redundant. I'm just saying. I know we had talked about it off air. I didn't remember if we brought it up on air, but. And then he said, Joel, the struggle is real. # magician mustache.
Who? He said that?
Jerry said that.
You don't even have a mustache.
I think the mustache is for Nick. I don't get that one either.
Yeah.
Jerry, I hate to say this, but you're probably going to have to call in to clarify yourself.
Oh, my God. White Magic just texted. Jerry's funny rating would be a 34.
And game on. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's funny. Mad better hope that wasn't Shady McCoy. Yeah. They'd be like, we're sorry, Shady.
You send someone out and get you.
You get all 99s.
What are the chances between now and 3 p.m. we hear, hi-oh!
Yeah.
Jerry's calling the show.
They should Salatosa said they should rename Madden to Maddened because everybody's angry.
Yeah, definitely.
No
like
doubt.
I said, there's been a lot of players that have had a lot of issues. I didn't realize they take it that serious. I know how serious video gaming is, period. But
oh, come on now. You know that all three of us would take it serious. If somebody did like ratings for ESPN sports guys.
I would say something. I wouldn't
care. I would take it. Joel, you know you would take it serious too, right?
Well, I mean, I would pay attention to it.
You
but
would
I mean,
be
at
upset.
The end of the
if
day,
you got,
it's still a video game.
Say,
it's not real life.
Let's say that you got a, let's say that they broke down radio hosts, sports talk radio hosts. And instead of like speed and agility, so you would have things like they would break you down on knowledge,
off the cuff,
dad joke
humor. And if you got low ratings on that stuff, you'd be like, hey, man, that's not true.
But I don't think I'm going so
especially
far.
Especially if they were like, all right, basketball knowledge, you got a 99. Baseball, you got a 78. Would you be mad?
I mean, I wouldn't be happy, but I wouldn't. See? But I'm not contacting anybody.
Oh, I would. I'd reach out.
I think we would be only because
everybody would be sensitive. I think you're. I think
because
you're
the Madden platform.
I'm saying
is so
I
big.
Would be too. I'm saying we would all be sensitive.
We get hammered by a ton of bloggers and stuff that
and
write
we get
these
sensitive
things,
about
but we don't
it.
Go back at them.
Yeah, you do. Are
no,
you kidding
me?
Didn't you just get in an argument with some dude on Twitter last week?
No, I said bloggers and columnists and radio
though.
And TV. You got mad at David Barron.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm owning my sensitivity. I'm saying we all would.
All right, we got 1 hour to go on the big show. We're going to be joined by Sports Map 94.1 next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.